Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture. Jesus is the sacrifice for our sin, March 23rd, 2026. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. George Wilson was convicted of robbing a United States mail carrier in 1830. At the time, this crime was considered extremely serious, and Wilson was sentenced to death. While awaiting execution, an unexpected turn of events occurred. President Andrew Jackson issued Wilson a full pardon. The document was prepared, signed, and delivered. Everything necessary for Wilson's freedom had been done. Yet something surprising happened. George Wilson refused to accept the pardon. Because Wilson would not accept it, the case eventually went before the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Marshall wrote the court's decision, stating that a pardon is an act of grace that must be received to take effect. If it is rejected, it has no power to save. Since Wilson refused the pardon, the court ruled that it could not be forced upon him. He was later executed, not because mercy was unavailable, but because it was refused. This historical account is both sobering and instructive. It reminds us that a gift, even a life-saving one, must be received to accomplish its purpose. Grace offered but rejected changes nothing. Mercy extended but refused does not rescue. The tragedy of George Wilson's story is not that he lacked a pardon, but that he would not accept one freely given. The same tension appears at the heart of the gospel. Scripture teaches that God has acted decisively to deal with the problem of sin. The solution has been provided, the cost has been paid, and forgiveness has been made available. Yet this gift, like a pardon, must be received. 1 John 2:2 addresses this reality directly. It declares what God has done through Jesus Christ and invites the reader to trust in and rest upon that work. 1 John 2:2 reads, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In one sentence, the Apostle John explains the heart of the gospel, how God deals with sin, who provides the solution, and how far that solution reaches. Laying at the heart of this verse is the clear and confident declaration that Jesus himself is the answer to humanity's deepest problem. Sin creates separation between God and humanity. It carries guilt, consequence, and judgment. 1 John 2:2 does not deny the seriousness of sin. Instead, it proclaims that God has provided a complete and sufficient remedy. Jesus is essential for dealing with sin. He is the sacrifice that makes forgiveness possible. At the same time, this verse presents a challenge. Accepting Christ's sacrifice requires humility. It means admitting that we cannot fix ourselves, that our efforts are insufficient, and that we are dependent on grace. For many, this is difficult. Like George Wilson, people may resist receiving what they desperately need because it requires surrender. Trusting Christ means letting go of self-reliance and receiving mercy as a gift rather than an achievement. This tension between desperate need and reluctant acceptance makes 1 John 2:2 both comforting and confronting. It comforts because forgiveness is secure and sufficient. It confronts because it calls us to receive what we cannot earn. Explanation of 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation. The word propitiation is not commonly used in everyday conversation, but it carries deep meaning. In Scripture, propitiation refers to a sacrifice that satisfies the righteous demands of God's justice. It means that sin has been fully dealt with. God is holy, and his holiness requires that sin be addressed. Jesus is described as being the propitiation as opposed to offering a propitiation. This emphasizes that forgiveness is found in a person, not a process. Christ himself stands in the place of sinners, bearing what justice requires for our sins. This phrase brings the truth of Christ's sacrifice into personal focus. John does not speak in abstract terms. He does not say Jesus dealt with sin in general, but with our sins. This includes every failure, every act of rebellion, every moment of disobedience. The sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient to cover real guilt and real wrongdoing. Forgiveness is personal and specific, and not for ours only. With this phrase, John expands the reader's perspective. The work of Christ extends beyond a small group or special category of people. God's grace extends beyond ethnicity, background, or religious history. This statement guards against spiritual pride and reminds believers that salvation is never a private possession to be protected, but a gift meant to be proclaimed. But also for the sins of the whole world. The final phrase emphasizes the scope of Christ's sacrifice. John is not teaching that every person is automatically saved, but that Christ's atoning work is sufficient for all and available to all. No one is excluded from the offer of forgiveness. This is no sin too great, no past too broken, and no person beyond the reach of Christ's sacrifice. The pardon has been issued to the world. The question that remains is whether it will be received. 1 John 2:2 calls us to trust fully in what God has done through Jesus Christ. Like the pardon offered to George Wilson, salvation is an act of grace that is not forced but must be received. The tragedy of rejected mercy still exists, but so does the beauty of grace accepted. In Christ, forgiveness is complete, justice is satisfied, and life is offered freely to all who will receive it. Memorization and meditation. 1. Read the verse aloud. Slowly read 1 John 2:2 aloud. Emphasize the words, He, propitiation, and whole world. 2. Write the verse down. Write the verse by hand. Circle the word propitiation. Reflect on what it reveals about both God's holiness and God's love. 3. Reflect on the meaning. Ask yourself, why is it important that Jesus himself, not something he did, is called the propitiation? How does this verse shape the way I view forgiveness? 4. Pray the verse. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for my sins. Help me to trust fully in what he has done and to live in gratitude for the mercy you have shown. In Jesus' name, amen.